You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Friday morning, March 14th, 2025. We made it to Friday. Another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the app, by podcast, or on social media. Thanks for starting your day and wrapping up your week right here. I got a question for you. Did you get up for the lunar eclipse? And if you did, were you underwhelmed? Or is it just me? I mean, I get the solar eclipse thing, you know, where the sun is like blotted out. This is the moon gets a shadow and gets kind of rusty colored. And it's all fine and good, but it's not the same, you know. But apologies if you were blown away. Here, what for me, somebody getting up at like 4 a.m, so the eclipse is already done. So there's just this big, bright, beautiful, full or practically full moon out there in the western skies already. And that to me is just, that's always a nice way to start the day, with a big bright moon before the sun comes up. It's going to be a good Friday, folks. It's going to be really warm. Then it's going to be rather stormy in some spots. And then it's going to get cold. And there still might be one more snowstorm or, you know, snowfall for us in the coming week. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot has all the details on that about 1 hour from now here on Up North News Radio. A little bit of a disjointed show today. We normally hear Kristen Lyerly on Mondays at 6:30, and we'll probably hear next Monday at 6:30, but she's also here at 6:30 this morning. Kiev Akil is on jury duty, so we won't be talking to him this week. And Kristen's just back from Washington, D.C., where she was doing, I believe, some lobbying with other OBGYNs and was looking to talk to her congressman in Northeast Wisconsin, who apparently was not in any rush to talk to her. So we'll ask her about the visit out to D.C. coming up. Then our regular Week in Review panel with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and veteran journalists Jennifer Schulze and Mark Jacob. We're going to have them a little bit early, right after Brittany's forecast, an hour from now, and they'll go until 7:30. And then at 7:30, we will have Brittany Kinzer, candidate for state superintendent of public instruction, backed by many conservatives, many Republicans, many voucher school advocates, and we have been checking in with her for weeks and weeks now to appear on the program, and she has graciously agreed to join us at 7:30 this morning, where we will talk about the race. And we're going to talk, much like our Supreme Court election coverage hasn't been about what the commercials want to talk about, the same is going to be said about our conversation. It's not going to be so much of what you're seeing in the commercials. It's going to be about the things that actually affect most of you. In this case, right in the pocketbook. Can you continue to afford paying for two school systems in Wisconsin? And if Brittany Kinzer thinks that we can, what's her plan to do that and keep public schools strong while allowing voucher schools, mostly private religious schools, to keep getting taxpayer dollars and continue to grow that program? So we'll talk all about education in Wisconsin and how it would look if she were to win the April 1st election for state superintendent. There is, of course, also an election for state Supreme Court. There are many school referendum issues on the ballot. There are many local offices on the ballot. There is a constitutional amendment referendum on the ballot. Again, another one designed to limit access to voting. So to learn everything about what is on your ballot, where to vote, how to register, or how to check if you're registered, go to myvote.wi.gov. That's myvote.wi.gov. You only with a few keystrokes, maybe a name and a birth date, maybe a street address. You can find out all of those things and more to make sure that you are out there voting on April 1st. Temperatures around Wisconsin on this Friday morning look like this for 6 a.m. I'm finding them here so I can put them up on screen on social media as well. There we go. It's 46 here in Chippewa Falls, 47 in Hayward and in Amory. Wausau's at 41, Wisconsin Rapids 45, La Crosse 51, Green Bay 45, Madison 49, Milwaukee 42, and it's 44 at Radio Park in Racine, where we bring on Mr. Greg Bach, who, like many a Friday, is saying, oh, that's been a really long work week. Well, time to start my mini work week, and that would be at the Laughing Tap.
Oh,
where,
yeah.
You know, he's got the laughing this weekend. Mr. Bach, good morning. What you up to this weekend?
I've got the laughing, and it's on tap.
There you go.
This weekend, we have Josh Adam Myers, 4 shows, 2 tonight, 2 tomorrow. Show starts at 7:30 and 10. Tickets are $22, $25 at the open. No, actually, to back there, $25. It's a special event. Josh has been on Comedy Central. He created his own show on there. He's very, very, very funny. It's a musical show, so it'll be it'll be a high energy show. So if you like rocking out, you're gonna enjoy that show a lot. What else? Then on Sunday we have Keg Stand. So I have 5 shows this weekend. Keg Stand Up at Lakefront Brewery. That show will begin at 6:30. Got a great lineup for that as well. And yeah, it's gonna be a fun time. MilwaukeeComedy.com for those tickets. But yeah, it's, you know, just type in Keg Stand Up. You'll be great.
Keg Stand Up. I like it. It's March the 14th. So that's if you were using little dots, like some people use slashes, dashes, dots. If you were to use dots, like 3.14.
That's right.
Today would be Pi Day.
It's Pi Day.
It is. And in the Up North News Daily newsletter, Christina Lurie is all about the pie, including a little story about Norske Nook.
Oh, yeah.
The wonderful, quaint bakery cafe in Osseo and also up in Rice Lake. People come from the world over to try Norske Nook's pies, and why wouldn't they? They are great. And not just your traditionals. Christina points out that there have been some crazy combinations over the years. There's been banana toffee, maple raisin, Northwoods root beer float, orange dreamsicle pie. Seriously?
Okay.
Pecan stout.
No thanks.
raspberry peach Melba and red velvet. How would you do a red velvet pie?
My guess is
I don't know. I don't know.
I am interested in that banana and toffee. I'm not going to lie. That one sounds very. Yeah. And a root beer float. I will never turn down a root beer float. So, But I will tell folks, if you're going to make your way to Norske's Nook and you want to buy a pie for takeaway, bring a spotter. Those things are heavy.
Yes, they are. Yeah, these are not your traditional pies.
No.
They're hefty, shall we say. Let's see. Alicia writes in on YouTube. There was pie in the Purple Route room at work this morning at 5 a.m.
The Purple Route room?
I don't know about I don't know anything about the Purple Route room. It sounds like the craziest name for a third shift lounge that I've ever... Oh, the route room, not purple.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, purple route room sounds like a place that makes sparkles and dreams.
Either way, there was pie this morning. Yeah. Look, hey, if you're first one in at work, especially if you're the boss, leave the house a couple of minutes early. Go get some pie. You know, maybe not everybody will like the pie that you get, but look, you don't have a better excuse than Pie Day to say, hey, gang, I appreciate what you do. Here's some pie. So there's my recommendation. Take it or leave it.
Thanks, Pat.
A lot of bosses out there going, I'm going to leave
it. Aren't you the the boss of this show, really? I mean, because I...
Why? Yes, I am. Greg, let me hand this pie right over through the screen to you.
No pie. I got some scented air here.
I'm trying to hand it over, and it's just not working.
Wouldn't that be amazing if we had done that?
If we'd have set that up? Wow.
God, that would have been television. That would have been good. MASH final series finale. Watch out. Greg and Pat transferring pie between screens.
Okay. We've got a year to plan it.
Okay.
We'll work on it. Also in the daily newsletter, Christina has a little editorial about the art of the deal. You know, that saying about Donald Trump. Well, in this case, it's about how he basically seized control of the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., and appointed himself the new chair. As Christina writes, this is not normal. And the fact that the president of the United States is focusing on this instead of lowering egg prices, lowering gas prices, reducing inflation, securing the border, ending the war in Gaza, ending the war in Ukraine, helping millions of Americans impacted by recent hurricanes and fires is rather alarming. And she concludes by saying, now would be a great time to support your local arts center and show your support for the arts and for leaving artists to have their own creative control without political influence. Right or left, let artists be. Let them flourish and let them brighten up our lives. So that is in the newsletter today. I did notice that the stock market, which I don't talk about a ton here, but it is plunging. It is in, depending on which index you're looking at, correction territory or bear territory. And I just want to make this point, and it was one of the networks yesterday was running clip after clip after clip to make this point. Do not let the president of the United States gaslight you with all of this talk about, oh, you know, there may be a recession and there may be a rough patch ahead. That is not what he said. And you can find clip after clip after clip after clip of him saying, on day one, prices will come down. On day one, America gets more affordable again. On day one, he will tackle inflation. On day one, also on day one, he was going to end the war in Ukraine. All right. That one maybe sounded like, you know, he was overpromising there. But at no point did he say, now, if you vote for me, I'm going to take a wrecking ball to the government. I'm going to fire thousands of veterans. I'm going to shake confidence in the markets with a trade war, and I'm going to bring the markets to bear territory and on the precipice of a recession. So for all the talk about things might be a little rough ahead, that is not what people voted for. The Brewers spring training schedule continues today, this afternoon. The Brewers are taking on the San Francisco Giants. You can catch the game on several Civic Media affiliates, including the newest Brewers affiliate up north, WBZH, in Hayward. Also in sports, let's see, we've got Badger men's basketball. They beat Northwestern in the Big Ten tournament. They will face UCLA in Friday's quarterfinals. That's this afternoon in Indianapolis. Coverage will begin at 12:30 on some Civic Media stations. Marquette rolled past Xavier 89-87 in the Big East tournament. They have a semifinal matchup tonight against sixth-ranked in the nation, St. John's. More coming up on Up North News Radio on this Friday morning. I'm Pat Kreitlow, live from Chippewa Falls. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I need a Friday song in the worst way, and I happen to have one thanks to today's history lesson, The Romantics, with a song that would always get us running out to the dance floor at Shenanigans or Trader and Trapper or the East 40, whatever establishment we were patronizing back in those early 80s. The Romantics, What I Like About You, peaked on the Billboard Hot 100 chart this day in 1980 at number 49. So it never even made the top 40, and yet, as the 80s went on, more people started playing it on the radio and on dance floors, and up it went to become just one of my quintessential Friday songs. Welcome back to Up North News Radio. 6:22 on this Friday morning, the Milwaukee Bucks snapped a three-game losing streak by beating the LA Lakers last night, 126-106. I want to talk a bit about some local journalists, some of them officially becoming legends, and one of them taking a day off for the first time in 8 years. And she might not even have done that, except that the comment sections in our world have become a national cesspool. But let's get to the legends first, because down there where young Mr. Bach is, flipping the dials and the switches, there is a high school and semi-pro sports broadcaster, Gary Sir, at WRJN Radio.
Mm-hmm.
There's also Pat O'Neill, a legendary voice in Wisconsin radio described as Madison's last great morning radio legend. There's John Stofflett, serving audiences for 41 years, mostly in Madison. And then there is one of my bestest friends and my former co-anchor, Judy Clark, at Channel 13. And all four have been named local legends of broadcasting by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association. And they will be honored at a banquet in the very near future here. And there could not be a better honor for my friend and former co-anchor, Judy Clark. Judy has been with Channel 13 for years. It's a 34 years, something like that, starting as a humble street reporter. Judy and I went to college together, and so we both worked at the college radio station, 89.7 WUEC, which I think is no more. It's now just part of Wisconsin Public Radio. And, Judy and I were in all the requisite journalism classes together with Henry Lippold, the legendary instructor. And she would eventually work for Wax Radio in Eau Claire before moving across the parking lot to WEAU TV 13 and moving from reporter to noon anchor. Then she and I anchored the evening news together for a number of years. And now she's been anchoring back on Dayside noon and five, or noon, four and five, and something like that. Well, when I made note of it in Facebook, some of the comments I got simply said this: "How's Judy?" And the reason being is that I have been gone from TV 13 now for 18 years. And yet, the whole time I was there, and ever since, Judy Clark is related to half of Chippewa County, and everybody else in the Chippewa Valley knows her. And so people would see me, and they'd go, "Hey, how's Judy? How's Judy? How's Judy?" People didn't believe me, but then people would be with me, and we'd see other people, strangers, who'd go, "Oh, hi, nice to meet you. Hey, how's Judy?" She's great. Judy is always, and you've heard this cliche, Greg, many times, but people don't say it unless it's true. She is on air exactly what she is off air.
Really?
She is just that genuine of a person.
That's awesome.
Now, that doesn't mean, that she doesn't have her bad days. We all do. But, she doesn't let that impact her performance on the air.
Yeah.
What she does in delivering the news.
Of course, yeah.
And has built up that reputation for trust. And after all these years for the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association to recognize her, I could not be more proud and privileged to call her a friend, and hope that when the eventual awards banquet is held, that she and Pat and John and Gary, all these new legends, have a wonderful time and understand the gratitude of their audiences. Meanwhile, up in Wausau, there is a small online news site called the Wausau Pilot and Review. And it was basically just started with one woman and a laptop. Just one person. Shireen Seward is the founder and publisher. And she has a new column at the Wausau Pilot and Review, which you would find at wausaupilotandreview.com. And it says, "A note from the publisher, why I'm taking a short break after 8 years without one." And so she talks about being a scrappy one-person operation into becoming a full-fledged newsroom, a team of four, 2.5 million reader views each month. They've earned 36 state and national awards. And she's right to say in her own words that it's a testament to the importance of strong, independent journalism. But as she notes, in those 8 years, she says, "I haven't taken a single full day off, not one. And that's going to change this weekend." And even then, it's only a weekend. It's a long weekend. is what she's taking. She says, I'll be back on Tuesday. And she talks about being tired and her husband's tired, but she writes a big part of the exhaustion comes from the daily barrage of cruelty that's become a routine part of our work. Look, she writes, we're journalists. We have thick skin. We expect criticism, but the vitriol, the name calling, the outright harassment, I can say with certainty it wears you down. The vulgar personal threats I've received would make most people rethink their career choices. And then she goes on to say some of the things that people threaten her with in the comment section, things that people would never say face to face. But the toxicity of anonymous comment sections, as she notes, it's taken an enormous toll on my physical and emotional well-being. Somewhere along the line, it seems we've forgotten, she writes, that there are actual people behind the stories you read. Local journalism, she writes, is critical to a healthy democracy. When communities lose their local newspapers, corruption rises, government spending goes unchecked, and civic engagement plummets. Without watchdogs keeping an eye on city hall, school boards, and courts, power operates in the shadows. I don't want to see that happen here, but right now my cup is empty, she writes, and as a friend recently reminded me, I can't pour from an empty cup. So she's taking a well-deserved long weekend. And we salute her for it. And she also puts in the note about donations always welcome. You should feel free to do so as well, because there's even one member of the legislature that has single-handedly tried to put her out of business through lawsuits. It's wrong. And Shireen Seward may not be a legend by the WBA, but she certainly is to local journalism in Wausau. Back after this. You're up north. I don't just play this Leslie Gore tune because you can see Kristen's face just light up because she is the world's biggest Leslie Gore fan. There actually was a reason to play it today. Today, Quincy Jones was born this day in 1933. Leslie Gore was one of the first artists he produced. Went on to do a few other folks, Frank Sinatra, Michael Jackson, people like that. But Quincy Jones, who passed away last November, was born 92 years ago today. So Dr. Lyerly joins us on a Friday. Normally we'd talk to Kia Vakil, but somewhere in Los Angeles County, somebody pulled his name out of a hat and he's on jury duty. So we thank him very much for doing his civic duty. Kristen did her duty as well in Washington, D.C. this week, doing a little bit of lobbying. Kristen, you and just a few close personal OBGYN friends?
Only about 800 OBGYN doctors from across the country.
And they all know awesome. Kristen.
Yes.
It is, for me, it's like a big reunion. I had so much fun and met so many young people going into OBGYN who, many of them approached me and told me that the work that I was doing inspired them. And, you know, Pat, to your point about your friend in Wausau who is taking her first vacation in 8 years, it's really, really hard to do the work that we are doing. And the comments that we get are sometimes really heavy and uncomfortable. So to get that kind of feedback is light and beautiful.
Yes, without a doubt. And just to correct the record, I don't even know that I've met Shireen. So I know I was talking about my friend Judy Clark before that, becoming a local legend. Shireen actually did not have really nice things to say about Up North News when we first came on the scene 5 years ago. I don't know her thoughts about it now, but I have been a defender and a backer of hers since day one to have an independent journalist like that. And it is actually where I did want to start with you. And that was the whole notion of, online toxicity. Now, the fact of the matter is, even predating social media, for somebody in your position as an OBGYN who would, stand for women to have control over their bodies and over their health care, long before social media, I'm sure you were getting, stuff in the mail or phone calls on those old things called landlines going, I can't believe, you stand for this and blah, blah, blah. It's just that social media has revved it up. I mean, not to 11, I mean, to 11,000.
Oh, it makes it Yeah, it makes it so much easier for people mm-hmm. just to be rotten to each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, the irony is, so what we're seeing from so many of our elected leaders in that they are not present, they are not available to the constituents who elected them, and they're not even responding to the feedback that people are offering them. We don't even know if they're seeing it because there's just no mechanism for them to get that. And, you know, that's one of the things that we experienced in Washington, D.C. I'd love to tell you about it, Pat. You want to hear my lobbying story?
Ooh, Pat, you are
I
muted.
You.
Oh, sorry. I was slurping my coffee.
Is that a yes? So
it's Friday. It's Friday. I've got the Roy Kent mug because, again, Roy Kent can say things that we can only dream of saying on the radio. In fact, hold on to your lobbying story for a moment, because there, coming out of the Shireen Seward story and the things mm-hmm. that you've had to say, I'm going to say again, and I don't have the right word for it. And Greg, of course, is very quick to hit that dump button if somebody says a naughty word. But when we talk about wokeism and, you know, don't be woke and all that, again, I will say the definition of woke is pretty basic, folks. And I'm glad that people on the right have really called out that word and said, oh, we've got to stop wokeism. There's too much woke. Woke stands very simply for don't be a... And then, as Greg gets near the button, look, I don't have any better word. It starts with an A, okay? And you could use, like, I think the title for this episode is don't be a glass bowl, you know? Mm-hmm. Just don't. Just don't. Don't say it in the comment section. Don't be a bigot. Don't put your misogyny on display. You're never going to win the battle of the battle against wokeness, because the definition of woke is pretty basic. Don't be a glass bowl.
Well, how about don't say something online that you wouldn't say to somebody's face?
Well, but the thing is, we now seem to have more people willing to say that to people's faces. And by the way, people confuse that with genuine criticism. You're mm-hmm. now hearing members of Congress, and that's going to lead us back to your story, members of Congress saying, well, we're not, why would we have town halls? They're so violent and there's so much vitriol. No, no, no. There's the difference between violence and vitriol and a large amount of criticism. And when there's a large amount of criticism, you're going to hear a lot of angry voices. That doesn't mean they're paid by George Soros or, you know, any of these other nefarious things. It means you might be screwing up mm-hmm. and you've made a lot of people angry.
That's accountability.
And that's accountability. And maybe you should listen to them, much like Congressman Tony Weed should maybe listen to constituents like you. Kristen continues her story.
Ah, yes. So every year we go to Washington, D.C., and we have an appointment with our legislators. So on Tuesday, we went and we met with Tammy Baldwin's health legislative assistant, and we talked about Medicaid, saving Medicaid, Medicare. We talked about ensuring access in rural areas for obstetrical folks. This is all like bread and butter stuff for OBGYNs. Nothing really too terribly controversial. And, you know, in Tammy Baldwin's office, we were welcomed. In Ron Johnson's office, we even had a reasonable conversation. Glenn Grothman's office, we visited them, and his legislative assistant was so receptive and excellent. Like, you can have really good conversations with folks, even from across the aisle, even in these difficult times. But things were different in Tony Weed's office. We got there and it was obvious that he was there. He was taking meetings with people. We saw him. He actually came out of a meeting to shake hands with us. But when he saw me and shook my hand, and of course I should note, I ran against him for the congressional seat, he said, "I'll be right back." And he hightailed it out of the office so fast and never returned to complete our meeting. So we had a nice conversation with his aide, and we talked about Medicaid and Medicare. And frankly, I'll be honest, I don't know if he knows the difference between those two foundational programs that so many Americans rely on. And maybe that's why he wasn't comfortable having this conversation. Maybe it was just me, but I was really surprised to see how fast he ran.
I wondered if maybe you'd say to your group there, if you all want to go ahead with the rest of your list, go ahead. He said he was going to be right back, so I'm going to wait here for him.
You know, I didn't go there to intimidate him. I really went there to have a conversation. People are losing Medicaid access. Medicare is in trouble because of, and as a physician, we know what some of these nuanced things are and some of these opportunities that, frankly, somebody who has owned a chain of gas stations probably doesn't understand. So that is the role, as when you go to Washington, D.C. as an expert, and any one of us can do this, that is our role, is to help our legislators understand what it, how these things are affecting us and how they can represent us better. So when your representative runs away from you, that's a moment.
Well, and it's because of the change in who our members of Congress are accountable to. And it's no longer a matter of being accountable to constituents or being accountable to public opinion and mainstream values. It's now accountability to leadership and donors. And so in his case, it's all about being accountable to Speaker Mike Johnson and to Donald Trump and to the millionaires and many, many billionaires who contribute to the people that he serves with in Congress. I mean, it's not about you personally, but you know that you and all these other constituents, if he's inclined to disagree with you, you're a blip on the radar at best. Somebody where you can say, I'll be right back, and not even mean it, you know? And yet people would say, well, then why even bother? Why even bother? There's a reason why. Things do change. Now, in this case, I'm talking about the legislature, not Congress. But Medicaid, expanding Medicaid coverage for postpartum care. Instead of 2 months of coverage, the federal government under the Biden administration said, or maybe it's Obama administration, I forget now, it says make it a year of coverage. We will reimburse you for that. And over time, 48 states have done that.
49.
49 now, as Arkansas, of all places. So every blue state and every red state except one. So Wisconsin hasn't expanded coverage yet, but all these other places have. And in large part, it is because doctors like you, moms like you, show up and say, here's the issue. It doesn't seem like it should be a Democratic or a Republican thing. And then they eventually look at the issue and go, oh, yeah, you're right. We really should provide that coverage. So that's why you go, even though you risk having some people lack the spinal fortitude to stick around in a room with you.
Well, and in my profession, I don't have a shingle outside saying, you know, you're welcome if you're a member of this party or this faith or this anything. I say, come to me with your problems. Let's solve them. And the beauty of that is Republicans, Democrats, Catholics, Protestants, agnostics, they all have the same problems. Mm-hmm. So we get to push past all of that stuff and focus on individual solutions. And that's the goal of lobbying, is to get beyond all of that partisanship and actually find those solutions that will work. That's not working right now.
No, it's not. So you did that out in D.C. Now you're back up north doing your work gig, but you're actually interrupting your work gig coming up here to do a few more Wisconsin events?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked, Pat. Yes, I'll be back in Wisconsin on Tuesday. We're going to be in Milwaukee for a press conference in the morning, a lunch, and then a giant rally on Tuesday afternoon in Madison featuring one of Time Magazine's Women of the Year, Amanda Zarowski. I couldn't be more excited.
As soon as I heard Woman of the Year, I was like, oh. Did Kristen get on a magazine cover already and I just didn't know about it?
Give it time, Pat.
I know. I'm a little concerned, though, because the last time you were planning a Capitol rally was like 10 days ago, and it got snowed out. And I'm looking at the Madison forecast.
Didn't get snowed out. We did it.
Did you do it?
Oh, yeah, we
in
did
that
it.
Weather?
I mean, it was kind of torture for my hair, but we did it. It was fun.
Oh, okay.
Yes, Representative Subak showed up with her umbrella. She was well prepared. I was not, so I looked a little bit like
a wet dog, but it was
fine.
Oh, well, that would explain. See, I didn't hear from you, and of course you didn't post about it because you, the aforementioned wet poodle, but I'm just noticing some snowflakes in the Madison forecast, but it's for Wednesday, not Tuesday. So I think you're going to be okay.
We're from Wisconsin. We can handle it.
Yes, and this is all about the state Supreme Court race.
It sure is. By the way, the last time we did this, we expected 100 people and we had 1,000 people out in that cold drizzle. So I don't know how many people are going to show up for this one, but I am anticipating it's going to be a lot because people understand what's at stake here. Did you watch the debate? I know you did because I watched you do the panel before the debate happened. Wow. The difference between these two candidates couldn't be more striking. Right out of the gate, Brad Schimmel's talking about politics and how politics are infiltrating the judicial system. The question was, why are you running? And Susan Crawford encapsulated that. She was calm. She was focused. She clearly didn't prejudge cases that she might be sitting on in the future. And Brad Schimmel has. He's on record numerous times doing that, in addition to some questionable personal behaviors like dressing up like Donald Trump in a garbage outfit for Halloween last year.
The debate was, again, I'm going to toot my own horn here. The forum that we did such a better job of focusing on the actual issues that a Supreme Court deals with mm-hmm. compared to the political ads. And even in the debate, it kept coming back to the matters in the campaign commercials instead. And so every effort that you can make, that I'm making to make these issues more personal to the voter, I think is going to increase voter turnout and perhaps get us somebody who can actually do the job mm-hmm. and not just live up to the commercials that billionaires are paying for.
That's exactly right.
One can hope anyway. Coming up in just a moment, we are going to have today's history lesson. Then we will have the forecast from meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Then our week in review panel from 7:10 to 7:30. And then we will have Brittany Kinzer, candidate for superintendent of public instruction at 7:30, just ahead on Up North News Radio.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Quincy Jones.
Oh, yeah.
More cool than any of us will ever be. Born this day 92 years ago, passed away last November. That, of course, was Killer Joe. This is today's history lesson for this March 14th, 3.14, Pi Day. We talked about pie a little bit earlier. Kristen, favorite pie?
All of it. I love pie.
All of it. All right. Breaking news here. We did, it turns out, you weren't expecting, somebody must have been recording when you were attempting to talk to your congressman. Here's a little audio clip of after you shook hands with the congressman, and here's how he responded.
Yes, that's what I heard.
There he goes. Let's do some birthdays. Singer-songwriter Michael Martin Murphy is 70, no, he's 80 years old today.
I love this song.
It's like this song is the 70s to
yeah.
me.
Oh, yeah. Today is Rick Dees' 75th birthday. Rick Dees, the legendary disc jockey. And more about Rick Dees in just a moment. Simone Biles is 28 years old today. You old woman. I feel bad for her. I do too. Just any athlete, like, oh, 28. Well, it's all done for you, you know. Jerry Greenfield is 74 today. He's the Jerry of Ben and Jerry's.
That goes with our pie.
There you go. He had applied unsuccessfully for medical school and decided to go into business with his childhood buddy, Ben Cohen, after taking a $5 correspondence course in ice cream making from Penn State. They opened their first ice cream store in the summer of 78 in an old gas station in Burlington, Vermont. Don't say dreams can't come true.
Yes, but point of order, I feel like those dreams are only possible like in the 60s and 70s. You're like, I came across a quarter, I gave it to a man, and he gave me $1 million. Like, it's just, all that stuff happened back then. We started a band, we played one show, then we were signed and famous.
It was a little longer path, I think, for Ben and Jerry than that, but the point is well taken. Mm-hmm. The number one song this week in 1987 was by Huey Lewis in the News. Which is funny because I am a huge Huey Lewis in the News fan.
Of course,
and yet, if I the first like 10 songs I would have written, Jacob's Ladder would have been, I would have forgotten it entirely of all the other things that are out there on sports and on four. And
what's even, your favorite?
Oh, I guess I want a new drug. But there's also Bad is Bad. Basically everything on sports, everything on the sports album. Love it. Let's see. On this day in 1981, Eric Clapton, after toughing out a concert in Madison, was flown to St. Paul to be treated for severe ulcers that nearly killed him. The rest of the tour was canceled. Clapton spent 6 weeks in the hospital recovering, followed a few months later by a return trip to Minnesota to enter rehab to treat the alcohol addiction that caused his ulcers. And probably a share of all the stupid stuff that he said back then as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
But don't get me wrong, I'm not letting him off the hook that easily. No. It was more than just the ulcers, but I'm sure it didn't help matters.
I watched a documentary about him, and they're like, he thought it would be a great idea to treat his heroin addiction with alcohol instead, like switch one for the other. They're like, good job.
It's on TikTok, actually.
Yeah.
What do you think, Doc? Is that the right remedy?
I saw a TikTok video about that, so probably, but not.
Okay. Listen to the doctor. Let's talk about gold records and platinum records and now diamond records. It was on this day in 1958 that the Recording Industry Association issued their first ever gold single for sales of 1 million copies. And that first gold record went to Perry Como.
Never let it fade. Ho, ho, ho.
One of my friends described his songs as something you like to listen to when you've got the mumps.
Well, that was unexpected. Yep.
It just sounds like music that you put into a movie before a big murder happens. Like, it's this is really fun, then just craziness.
So that was the first gold single. By 1976, as sales grew, they needed to create platinum status. The first platinum single was Disco Lady by Johnny Taylor. Followed that year in 1976 by five more platinum records, including one from today's birthday boy, Rick Dees.
This is like the theme today, I think, is disco.
There were a lot of disco platinum records back, and that was why they had to create it. Disco was so popular, people were buying up all the records, and so they needed that.
As someone who was not alive during this song's period, and I'm just here to tell you, y'all went too far with this one.
8-year-old me loved this song.
It was not a career killer, put it that way. He only got more popular from there. Let's see. We talked about today being International Pi Day. It's also International Day of Mathematics, and something somewhat related there, because pi measures something about a radius and a circle and the hypotenuse. Is that part of it?
And
I
dessert.
Was told there would be no math.
Yeah, same. Today is National Potato Chip Day. It is Freelancers Day. It's Legal Assistant Day. It's these two don't go. It's Learn About Butterflies Day. It's Save a Spider Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then finally, it is World Sleep Day.
Yeah.
Oh.
Boy,
that comes after pie.
Could we use more of that? It's just, why wouldn't you? If I were president, I'd say, oh, it's World Sleep Day. Y'all get the day off today, you know, except the most essential folks. Go sleep. I think that would be awesome. Kristen, thank you so much for coming in, doing a little extra shift for us. And hopefully, if work doesn't get in the way, we'll talk to you on Monday.
Happy weekend, fellas.
All right. See
Happy
you
weekend,
later.
Doc.
Our Week in Review panel is coming up next after Brittany's forecast, and then State Superintendent of Public Instruction candidate Brittany Kinzer will join us at 7:30. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Sing it, Rick.
Thank you so very much.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.